A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm gonna get out the fish, people are gonna be like, what? And she's gonna be like, what? And then I just slap her in the face with the fish, and that's it. That was my plan.
Hello everybody and welcome to the show! If you don't know me yet, my name is Tekla. And some people call me the toxic spider. And I'm a natural born world shaker. So you better watch me now. Oh, stardom! Hajime Mashite!
Tekla, the toxic spider. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I should really be announcing you as the stardom champion, the toxic spider.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
Does that feel weird to say now? Or is it, are you cool with it?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Being the champion?
Yeah.
why wouldn't that be cool to say? That is the coolest thing to say.
I don't know whether it would just feel a bit surreal for somebody that, you know, you've been doing what you do for a while over in Japan now, and right, there you are, top of the tree. Like, I don't know whether there was a surrealness to it or whether as I kind of get the impression, it's just, hey, of course I'm the champion.
To be very honest with you, it's a little bit like that. The last thing you said, it's like, yeah, of course. Like, what else would I be? I know what you mean. It's super fast. Like, I got it after less than a month. You know, I got the title. I got the challenge for the vacant title after like 2 weeks or something. So that's crazy. And then like winning is not so much of a surprise to me. It's like also in Japan, I've held a couple of titles. So I don't know. I do have that self-esteem by now.
But that's lovely to hear though, that you have. Like we're chatting today as you've not long checked into a hotel in Osaka because the road, the grind never stops. The tour never stops. Is there a normal routine? Because it's the end of the day for you in Osaka right now. Is there sort of a wind down routine that you'll be doing if you weren't talking to me?
Not really. Like, I think I'm also just getting used to everything, like checking into the hotel. I mean, that's usually around the same time. But then what I do after is a little bit, usually I go out for dinner with like Julia and the other DDM girls. And then, I don't know, I just get ready, take a bath, get something, I don't know, from the convenience store or whatever. Not really. Like, I want to try going to the gym, actually, before the night is over. But usually, like, after these long rides, I just get a little bit tired. So, yeah, if I were, you know, as a champion, that's probably something I should do.
Is there a gym in the area that you've already spotted that you're going to go to?
Yeah, there's like a Gold's Gym, I think like half an hour away from here. So I was actually going to go there tonight, check it out. I haven't been there yet, but it's probably going to be good. Might go there tomorrow morning, though, because we've got like a fan convention and it starts rather late. So I should be off around noon.
You'll have time in the morning to do it. Well, what we'll do tonight then before you wrap up for the day is send you to a desert island. Metaphorically speaking.
Oh, shit.
Because I think that's what we need after the last 18 awful bloody months we've had, is more isolation from the world.
We're craving it. We can't get enough of it now that we've had it for so long.
I just missed not talking to anyone. We're going to send you onto the island with a DVD featuring three wrestling matches of your choice. Three matches that have some significance to you. Maybe three matches that inspired you. Maybe three matches that still inspire you as a champion. What would you like your first match to be?
So the whole concept of that is a little bit difficult for me, because usually how I do things is I like fall in love with a wrestler and then I start looking into shit, right? So I just watch a couple of matches. So I have more like phases, you know, there's not like a match that I always get back to, you know what I mean? So I really like, when I got your message, I really had to think hard, like, which one do I take, you know? But there is one match, like my one match that I like to watch a lot is, wait, I got it written down everything. So that is a great.
Oh, prepped.
Versus, it's like a little paper I signed here before. Great Muta versus Antonio Inoki. That is a 1994, that match. I really like to watch a lot. It's like, there is like, basically there's three matches. They're all Great Muta matches. That's one. Then there's another one with Jushin Thunder Liger. And then there's another one I like to watch. But yeah, I think the Antonio Inoki one, those two against each other, I've watched that like 5-6 times, I think. Yeah,
this one, like I said, they've clashed a few times before, but why this particular Inoki Muta match over others?
I don't know. I think it caught my attention just the way it starts off. There's something, there's this detail I really like. Like, and Inoki comes down the ramp, right? And Great Muta is already waiting for him, and they're like staring off, you know, like Muta won't let him pass to the ring, and there's this crazy tension, and you can feel it in the crowd also. Like, everything is perfect, like from their expression, it's like so tense. And then Muta steps back after like a minute or something and goes to the ropes and like opens the ropes, you know, so Inoki can go through. And the crowd just goes like, oh, you know, and
like we're doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I watched it and I was like, I was going the same way, like, oh, you know, it's so amazing, you know, like this tension between like Inoki, the biggest baby face, maybe. Well, we can discuss that. But at that time, right, you know, and then Muta, like the enigma, the mysterious, you know, scary character that he is, you know, just like opening the ropes for him, you know, Inoki just like trying to figure out if he wants to go through or not. I just love that. And then like the match, everything else is just brilliant as well. So
this is the one.
I like to go back to that.
Is this the one with the pile driver through the table, where like it really ramps up quite quick, or am I thinking of a different match between these two?
Isn't that, because I watched today, I watched Liger versus Muta as well, and they had that spot. Could it be that it's Liger?
I may very well be thinking of that one then. I may very well be thinking.
Because that was crazy. I was also like, ugh, Jesus. but I'm going to say this right from the top. Like, I'm not good with names usually. Like, I'm not good with data. You know, that's the sort of stuff that I would get confused. If I hadn't watched it today, I'd be like, yeah. I think that's that match. I have no idea. You know.
Now that's cool. But so, when do you remember discovering this particular match for the very first time?
That was probably that was 2 years ago, I think, when I was living in the Ice Ribbon Dojo. That was for like half a year or something. And it was, I think, if I remember correctly, it was just when the pandemic started. And it was super isolated. Like, if we all know about the isolation during that time, but I wasn't even in my home country, you know, like I was in a foreign country by myself. I was living at the dojo by myself. So I only had wrestling, and I was like, okay, that tunnel, right? I was only focusing on that, like training 20 hours, 30 hours a week, not going out and just watching wrestling after training. And then I knew about Muay Thai before, obviously, but that's, I don't know, I was just kind of trying to find all like old school pro wrestlers that I could just, you know, find inspiration from. And then like, just really struck with me. And then I started to watch a bunch of great Muay Thai matches, and that's how it started. Yeah.
It was the wrestling, the passion that is for wrestling in Japan that drew you over there to leave Austria and move there. Obviously, like the last 18 months or so were appalling, but is it weirdly a blessing? Because in that time where you were in a different country and you were finding your feet in a new place, that all you had was wrestling. Do you think in a weird way that was a blessing because it allowed you to truly hone and craft what you do?
Now, listen, it's not even in a weirdly way a blessing. It's absolutely 100% a blessing. Like, things could have turned out very, very differently. Like, actually, it was kind of I wasn't even supposed to live there. I was supposed to do a tour for 6 weeks. And a week before I left, shit hit the fan back at home. And I just thought, okay, like, nobody knew what was going to happen, right? But I was like, wait, I know this is scary, but this might be a chance. This might be good, you know? Like, and things weren't that bad in Japan at this point. And I was like, hey, I really like it here. And things are bad at home, so why not take the chance? And, you know, what's going to happen, you know? So it was the best thing that could have happened to me, really. I wouldn't be sitting here now. Most likely not, if it wasn't for that pandemic.
Let's talk about home, because you're from Austria. And did you grow up in a wrestling family? Was there a lot of love for wrestling when you were growing up there?
Not at all.
No.
No, not at all. Like, I didn't even, like, in Austria, I would say wrestling isn't that big. I didn't come in contact with it at all while I was growing up as a teenager. In my late teens, after I graduated from high school, that's when I first went to a show, more by accident, really. I was into going to punk shows and stuff. So, and then I just randomly walked into a wrestling show that was at a local venue. And I immediately fell in love with that, with the chaos and everything. So that's how I became a fan. I just, from then, like, I think I was 18 or 19. That's when I started to watch like WWE. And then I think 2 years later, I was like, hey, let's try this. This might be something for me.
So you say you walked into a venue and wrestling was on. And that was where you got drawn into it. Were you in your band at this point, or had the band come and gone?
I was not in a band yet. We were like going to a lot of gigs, but I wasn't playing yet. It was more like it was a phase in my life where I was more like discovering and looking for shit that I want to do. I think I started being in bands like 3 or 4 years later. Like, I think I had my first band with 21. And but it was like, yeah, I would call it like the research time, you know, just going out and like going to gigs and then going to wrestling shows, you know, just soaking everything up, you know, and then later taking all that knowledge and the things I'd seen, you know, and experienced, and then put it into music, put it into wrestling, you know. We were passionately pursuing that dream. Like, I had a couple of bands and we were touring Europe, you know, only like a couple of years ago. It's hard to say, because at heart, I'm a musician, you know, and then again, music and wrestling, and, you know, it's the same energy. It's just, you know, when you do a gig, when you're in the ring, it's very similar. Obviously, it's still very different as well, but there's the aggression and the energy and the intensity that gets released during a live performance like that, you know, is very similar. And I mean, you know, it's a fact. I am not going to be able to do wrestling forever, because at some point my poor old body is just going to give in, you know. I'm still thinking if I do have to retire at some point, I might go back into music and then just go full on, because I mean, music is just as hard on the body, and touring is just as painful, can be, you know, but it's still at least the neck's fine, you know.
No, I think, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there is less, not none, but less neck trauma when you're touring with a band. But it's a physical exhaustion. It's an emotional exhaustion as well. And I think that's something exactly. That a lot of people think when people who don't really get the full picture go, oh, but you go to different places and play music. But it's not, because you're on stage and you're performing and you're projecting and you're doing that every night, whether you're feeling, you know, if somebody breaks their leg, you don't tell them to run a marathon. If you're not mentally in the right place, you've still got to go out and project, perform, entertain and give all of that. You say that you, when you pick in matches, that you don't necessarily look for the matches because you fall in love with a certain wrestler or a particular wrestler and you research them. Who was the first wrestler that you fell in love with in that sense?
Okay, I think that it was probably Rey Mysterio, for sure. I don't know. It was like a classic, such a classic answer, but I think that's the first, like, you know, after going to that show that got me into wrestling, like, you know, like quick research, you know, best wrestlers of all time, and then just watching stuff. And it's like Rey Mysterio was, you know, it was just the athleticism and like the how do you say, just, it was just super, super cool to see. Also the size, like I'm not the tallest, biggest wrestler myself. So that was like, hey, that's a dude who is not like a mountain, like a beast, you know, but it's just really good at what he's doing and just taking these mountains down, you know. That was super cool, and the mask. But then I didn't know anything at that point. I mean, later on, it became like the girls from the Women's Revolution, like Sasha Banks and Charlotte. And or like generally that time, like 2015, 2014, 15, 16, that's when I was like, then that's when we were watching like every week, you know, all these like Raw, SmackDown storylines. So that was like, sort of like, wow, Sasha Banks, that's, you know, they're also feisty, you know, it's like really cool. That was very impressive to me at that point.
You reach a point where you're discovering these names and you, not only did you love wrestling, actually, to go back to it very briefly, that first show you went to, you walked into the venue, wrestling was on, and you're like, wow, what is this nonsense? Who was on the show? Is there anybody, is there anybody that you remember, like from that show, or a spot or a bit from that show that stays with you?
Yeah. So the thing was called a Rock and Roll Wrestling Bash, right? So we were into rock and roll. We didn't know about wrestling. It was like, hey, that sounds pretty cool. And there was like punk bands playing in between, and then you had the wrestling, right? That's and it was all very flashy. Like later on, I found out that it's like a German, you know, I don't know. It's like a couple of wrestlers, mostly from Germany. And they were touring during that time. So I think Boris the Butcher, a guy called Boris the Butcher, was definitely stayed in my memory. And what he, especially because he was like, he came into the ring and he was carrying around a dead chicken, like a real dead chicken without its feathers, right? And he was starting like to beat his opponent with the chicken. And at some point the chicken just fell apart and it was just thrown into the crowd, right? It's like chicken everywhere, you know? And the audience, like we were all standing at ringside, you know, we could like hit the mat. It was crazy. You know, we were just right there. And people in the audience started to throw around parts of the chicken.
Oh,
and it hit my friend in the face, and she just turned around. She thought somebody wanted to pick a fight with her, and then she had blood on her face. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here? what is this place? This is crazy. What are people doing? I was like, this is amazing. I had never been to anything like that. I'd been to crazy punk shows and rock and roll shows, but that was just a little bit too much. I was like, okay, I have to know about this thing. And honestly, I've never been to a crazy show like that ever again. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in wrestling, I think. But just the look on my friend's face, she was like, and then she looks on the ground and she picks it up and it's this piece of chicken. And she's like, hit me in the face. And I'm like, what? and then I look at my bag and there was like blood from the chicken on my back. I was like, what? I was like, I like this. I don't know. Call me a weirdo. I don't care.
What I love is a situation like that will, for the untrained eye, will bring one of two responses. Either this is awful, I'm leaving, or how do I get involved in this? Do I need to bring my own chicken? Or exactly. is it supplied? But that's a phenomenal memory.
That was my first contact with wrestling. I thought, okay, so this is wrestling. How did I miss this? How did anybody miss this? I mean, but don't get me wrong. I wasn't, after that experience, I wasn't like disappointed that there weren't any more dead chicken flying around. You know? It's not like that. It was just, I think it was so, I couldn't have gone to a better show for the first time getting in contact with wrestling. I'm very happy about that. Love that story.
I quite like the idea of you turning up to your first training day with a chicken. Just going, I don't know where we need this. I don't know whether you supplied them.
So,
I don't know if I need to bring my own.
Exactly. Like, as far as I know, that's a thing. Don't need it. Sure? You sure? I got it.
I'll put it in the fridge.
It's already here. Might as well use it. I should have done it.
It's still time. No.
Yeah. Last year I was in a storyline and I actually wanted to use a dead fish, but right. It was during Corona. And it was during Corona and they were like, you can't, you don't. Just don't. So, I just had this brilliant idea of disrespecting my opponent with, like, hitting her.
So what would you have done? So talk me through the spot. What would you have done?
I would have had, like, I sometimes, like, back in the day, like last year even, I bring out this mystery bag. You know, it says mystery and nobody knows what's in there. And it's like, I don't know, it's like weird shit that I used to attack my opponents with, you know. And I thought, I don't know, it fit the storyline, it fit the angle. I was like, hey, I'm going to, you know, just get out the fish. People are going to be like, what? And she's going to be like, what? And then I just slap her in the face with the fish and that's it. That was my plan. But it was too difficult to go through with it. Yeah.
Was it because it was the height of COVID? Yeah. Is that why they said no to the fish slapping spot?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So is this something we could revisit?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Let's get your second match for your DVD. So we've had Antonio Inoki versus the Great Muta for your first one. What's the second one going to be?
The second one is, it's actually three matches, but it's also one, it's more or less. It's Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat, 1989. It's basically the rivalry, right? I really like that. I chose that because I'm a Ric Flair fan. Like last year I read the biography and it's just like, trying to learn. I don't know. Like I just wanted to say like trying to learn how to be a heel, but you can learn everything from Ric Flair. He's just so absolutely incredible, and I just love how those two, like the chemistry is just amazing. It's so good to see, like, even if I'm tired and I'm just watching by the side doing something else, and it's like I just get drawn into it. I'm like, this is so beautiful. Like just the way when he gets shot off to the corner, and then he just flips over the corner, and then he's outside the ring, and then he runs, you know, on the apron, and then, you know, that's out, and it's like, this is amazing. This is so cool. It's like, oh, I just rewatch it. I think the first time I saw it, I just stopped. I was like, hold on. And I went back, and then I watched it like 30 times. And it was the most, at that point, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And hilarious at the same time.
Which was the part that was there a particular part that you say that you watched 30 times over?
Yeah. Like where he gets shot into the corner and he flips, like, how do you say? Sorry for my all over the place English. He just flips over the corner, right?
Yes.
Like, he flips over the corner and he's outside and he holds the rope. And then he runs on the apron, right?
And then he runs on the apron that runs up the turnbuckle. Does he run on the apron and then get knocked off the apron?
I think the first time I saw it, maybe he got up.
And then
maybe it was the clothesline. I don't remember which one it was, but maybe it was the clothesline. I think because he's got the speed, right? He's like, vroom, vroom. And then he runs like nothing has happened. And then, bah, the clothesline. I was like, this is amazing. So cool. And it takes so much from you also, you know, like then you, the athleticism, you know, like then he bumps and did those guys bumping on the apron all the time. They ring out, ring in, ring out, ring in. It's just like, And in between you have beautiful basics, you know, and the storytelling is just.
It's nice because you talk about like I think it's called the Flair Flop or the Flair Flip, when he goes that bit that you watched over and over, and it's then there is like a beautiful poetry, a beautiful motion to the way he does it, and I'm in mind now of the first time I'd seen you before. I've known of you for a while, but there was a particular thing that caught my eye more recently, which was the thing that did the rounds, which was the Toxic Spider spear, where you roll onto your arms on the back and you crawl along on your arms and legs backwards, sort of Bray Wyatt-esque for those who haven't seen it. And then you sort of peel upwards. You sort of like almost like you roll upwards, and it's a really beautiful motion in all in one swift move. You're just suddenly upright, and then within a blink of an eye, a spear has happened, and that is all like, and it puts me. It's and I love the fact that you mentioned how the Flair Flip in the corner was something that you just like. I need to rewind that, because I get that same energy from that move. Is that deliberate, or do you think that's happened by accident?
No, that's happened by accident, I'd say for sure. But
can you see what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And it's beautiful to hear. It's like, oh my god, yes, now that you say it. Of course, it's just like, I think I never thought about it that way also. Like, let's talk about something else. I was so close to dropping that whole thing.
Oh wow, really?
Like the whole, yeah, I was really close to not doing that move again. Like I did it a little bit differently, but I've done it since my very first match, like my debut match in 2017. It's like going in the bridge, turning over, and then spear, you know. But before I joined Stardom, I was thinking, maybe it's something that doesn't fit the company, you know, maybe it's not, you know, I don't know what got into my head. And then I talked to some people and they were like, dude, this is the coolest thing. You can't drop that. That's absurd. Are you stupid? And then I talked to some Stardom people and they were like, yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe it doesn't fit. And I was like, oh, that's what I thought. Nah. And then right before the match, I was like, hey, there's this thing there's this thing I do, you know? And they were like, hey, that sounds cool, just do it, you know? And then it blew up on the internet, you know? So, so close to never doing it again.
Were you surprised when that move happened? When did you realize that all of a sudden, like, the internet was popping for the spider spear?
I mean, I know it's like also in Japan, obviously everybody always pops, and it's always the thing that people remember from a match, right? This is it's one of the big, like, what's this? Never seen it before also, you know? And then, I mean, that day was just crazy, you know? Like, once I got out of the ring, I was like, I was on fire, and I knew I had just absolutely nailed it. You know, so when I got out, you know, I was like, whoa, crazy, you know, just hey, can't wait to get back in the ring. And then I just got on Twitter, and then everything is just like, what is going on? You people crazy? And then, you know, and then somebody just, you know, the GIF was out there, and then people saying, you know, Tickle is my favorite wrestler, you know, who else? And then everybody's like, me. And I was like, oh. I mean, I knew that there was going to be a buzz. That was, I mean, without trying to sound like an asshole, I knew there was going to be something, but I didn't expect that. Absolutely not. But I was also lucky, because just the angle that they shot this, it's just so beautiful, you know, and just the way Tom is going down, you know, just perfect. And then it's just every time I do it, it's pretty, but that one was especially pretty, you know. So yeah,
it's a good one.
Definitely might have helped with the word getting out there that this one's in the game now.
it absolutely did. You've been in the game as part of Stardom for a while now, as well as Ice Ribbon, where you lived in the dojo for a few years. But when did the decision come? Can you remember when you made the decision, I'm leaving Austria, I'm moving to Japan to pursue this? Can you remember when you made that decision?
Okay, so when I did my first tour in 2019, I was in Japan first time 2017-18, like for 2 weeks, and that's when I had my first match in Japan ever. It was an underground match, and that was like kind of, they were like, oh good, but I was super green. That was my fourth match ever, and then half a year later I came back, or it was a little bit longer. I think in 2019 I came back, and then did my first tour with Ice Ribbon, 6 weeks. And that was so intense and so good. And at that point, before that, I had only wrestled like a couple of matches, maybe 12, 15 or something. And that time with Ice Ribbon was so intense. And I just felt, I liked Japan a lot before, but that's when I really fell in love with the culture and being there, and just the intensity and being able to only focus on wrestling. That was just so good. And then I went back to Austria. I was still studying. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to wrap this up now. I've been studying for like 6 years. So I'm just going to get my master's degree and just go back to Japan. I was like, this was in my mind, you know, I just want to go back there, even if it's just for 6 weeks. And then we're going to see what happens, you know. I don't know. I think this first tour was really like going to the dojo, like coming there, first day, first time ever in the dojo, I liked it right away. Like, just there's like, it smells a certain way, and you know, and it's a little bit, you know, like dojo style, like everything is a little bit run down, and there's weights, and I have this little room, and there's only, I'm only here for that, because I'm a person, I love a lot of things, like I like music, I like, you know, I like drawing things and arts and whatever, you know. But when I went there, it was just being there and wrestling, and that was so good. That was so fun. Everything about it. It just smelled it in the air. It's weird. I was like, this is so good. This is so me. And then I went back, finished my shit, went back to Japan. And then Corona happened. And I was like, okay, this is a chance. Hey, this is a chance. I'm staying, people. I think this is good. So, yeah.
What's your
and
what's
it's your, good.
what's your master's degree in?
I have a master in transmedia art. It's like media art, sound, all, you know, mixed media.
What were you, if had wrestling not been a thing, what would you have done with that master's?
I would be, well, I was all over the place. Like either I'd be in a very famous rock band now, or I'd be working as an artist or a graphic designer, something like that. Probably doing a lot of things at the same time, but like a freelance artist, I'd say. Or something completely different. Who you never know with me.
Is that something that you still sort of dabble in from time to time on a more casual basis? I know you said you enjoy art. Is it something that is now done more for leisure, or is it something that you could still possibly do in a business sense?
I do it all the time, really. Like I design all my merch myself. You know, all the designs you see, like 90% of that. You know. And I draw every now and then, you know, I might have an exhibition coming up this year. Sometimes I'm being represented by a gallery. So I always like to keep busy also outside of the ring, because it inspires, like things outside of the ring inspire me to do different things in the ring as well. You know, like my mind, I like to think outside of the box and always keep busy. So definitely still going to keep on doing art and drawing and shit.
How did it come about that you would get an exhibit of your art?
I don't know. I go out, I talk to people. I speak Japanese now. So I just, you know, and people, like, once I step into any place, people are like, huh? Who's that? What is this small European looking muscular girl who speaks Japanese doing in like a divey bar somewhere in like the artsy part of Tokyo, you know? And I quickly get into conversations with people, and then at some point I met a gallerist and he was like, here's my card, you know, here I have an exhibition coming up in 2 days. And I went there, and it's like, and there was like punk people there too, so it just all made sense, you know. It's like and then they were just like, hey, you're a genius, let's do an exhibition. And I was like, yeah, okay.
It's all people, isn't it? It's all getting out and it's all meeting people. It's throwing yourself into the culture and making that magic for you.
Exactly. Like I love people. Like I love communicating with people. That's why I, you know, put a lot of effort into learning Japanese as well. You know, I just like to talk to them. I like to make things happen, you know. I don't like to be bored. So, and I like to go out, you know. Like it's you know, rock and roll. It's out there, not at home, you know.
what's a good night out for you in Japan, Thekla? Because you're in Osaka at the moment. Will there be a night out on the cards, or is it all work
no.
at the moment?
No, when I'm like, I don't drink before matches. I don't go out before matches because it's too dangerous. If I have one or two drinks, I'm just like, oh yeah, let's go, you know. I'm a professional now, I can't do this sort of stuff, you know. So not here I try to chill and just prepare for my matches, but during the week, if I don't have anything crazy up, you know, coming up the next day, I like to meet my friends somewhere in Tokyo, and then we usually, maybe we do a little bit of work first, and then we just go to like a nice divey bar and have a couple of drinks, and then go to the next bar and have another drink, and then we just hop, we bar hop, you know. If I miss my last train, then, and Japan's crazy, you know, there's no night buses or anything, then I'm just like, well, guess we're gonna do this until 5 a.m. you know. So it's just like a typical night out. We would be hitting three or four bars, and right now it's like last week I went with some friends, and you know, it's just on the street, people are like, hey, champion. It's like, who are you? You know, it's crazy, like people, hey, champion, oinishimasu, hai, ganbatte. They're in Japanese. It's like, I've probably met them before, but it's like, hey, thanks. So this is they know me already. I'm an icon.
Just what can I say? I'm an icon. What can I say? I like that. It's a who is okay on one of these legendary nights out. Mr. Nightbus, no night buses, Mr. Last Train, you're on till five. Who is somebody that you're friends with over there that you would want as a second for those nights? Who on a night out? If someone you know who, if they're on a night out, it's gonna be a good night out. Who are we talking about?
You mean from the other wrestlers?
Yeah.
Julia, actually.
Okay.
If you know Julia. Yeah, Julia's pretty fun. Like sometimes like outside of wrestling, we go for drinks, we do karaoke or something, just talk about all sorts of stuff. Julia's pretty fun. I mean, that's my choice now because people who are listening might know her as well. So we met in 2019 for the first time, and she didn't know English, I didn't know Japanese, but we just connected right away. Like we just had, I think it's also because she's half Italian. Like she kind of easily would understand what I meant, and the other way around, you know. And we're the same age, so we have this weird, I don't know, weird connection, from the very beginning. So I would take her out. Yeah, we go out like once a week or once in 2 weeks if we're not too busy.
Nice. I like that. What do people back home make of you being away and making that decision to leave Austria for Japan? Like, how do people back home feel about it?
They're jealous.
Nice.
No, I'm being a dick. They are very proud. I mean, now especially with the buzz happening this year. It's crazy, really, these days. I got, like, the biggest newspaper in Austria. So, like, I got a message right away. It's like, hey, we want to do a cover story about you. I was like, okay. And then that came out, and there was the huge buzz. It was a super popular, like a thing on the internet, like 300 comments, you know. People kind of already knew me, like, because of wrestling and being in bands and arts and stuff, but I wasn't that big, obviously. But people are like, whoa, who is that, you know? And then TV called, they were like, hey, can we do a Zoom interview and then like do a little, like a bit about you? And then last week I was on TV, like just about, you know. So, and then people are like, hey, we want to write a book about you. It's like, what? What do you want to do? What do you want to, my wrestling career is not even 5 years, right? So it's like, what kind of books do you want to write about me? And it's like, people like, hey, how about we do a movie documentary about you? It's like, what? Sure. I mean, people are going crazy back at home. Yeah, they love it. I mean, at first, they were always like, hey, this is so cool. You get to be in Japan and, you know, you get to wrestle. This is so, like, nobody does that, you know? I mean, you have to understand, in Austria, wrestling is really not big, you know?
Like, there's Volta. I think, in terms of Austrian representation.
Yeah, Gunther, you mean. I don't know who you're talking about.
Apologies, Gunther. I forgot. He's been he's the guy from Friends now. I forgot.
Poor man. Anyways, yeah, it's the two of us. But when I started, there were like six females doing wrestling, you know? It was really not big. It's such a niche. And now people are like, what is wrestling? This looks kind of crazy. This is cool, you know. And then they hear my story and how I've been around and everything, and they're like, well, this is very interesting. Nobody has ever led a life like that from Austria, you know. I mean, it's like, to the people, it's like unheard of. So people are entertained, excited, and enthusiastic about me being here, I guess.
And what's amazing is when people discover, like, when people just discover the lineage of the belt that you currently hold, you know, held by people like Bea Priestley and Io Shirai and Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter.
Yeah.
They're big shoes to fill, but also there are a selection of people who made this wonderful name for themselves and built themselves in Japan and then took on the West, went to America, went back to the UK. Are there conversations or is it things that you've thought about doing anything over in America or doing stuff in the UK?
Of course, everybody, like the new American fans are all like, okay, when are you coming to AEW? Hello, you know? So I get that a lot. I had plans on doing like an America tour last year, but it's just too difficult with COVID, right? Like it was just impossible. And UK too, like some of my good friends are from like the north, you know, and they invited me, you know, and obviously I always wanted to be part of Pro Wrestling Eve, you know, so that's the sort of stuff I wanted to do back then. Right now, I mean, hey, I just got here, so I'm really trying to focus on Stardom. I think, to be honest, Stardom, when it comes to women's wrestling, is really the best out there right now, without trying to talk well about my company, but it is, everybody says so, and it's the truth. It's only getting better right now. Of course, there are strong women's divisions somewhere else, but for what I want to do and the style that I like, this is the best place to be right now. So, but in the future, yeah, for sure. I love to travel. I've lived all over the place, and it's like a bad habit I can't get rid of. I'm eventually going to go somewhere else at some point and then come back and then go again. You know, it's just how I do it.
Let's get to your third and final match for your DVD. It's been Inoki and Muta. We've got Steamboat and Flair. What are we finishing on, Thekla?
We're finishing off with Julia versus Mayu Iwatani, which was just going on in January 29th when I got the belt. And I'm choosing that because, I don't know, Muta, Ric Flair, that's like old school stuff, right? And I wanted, that match, I was at ringside, right? I had just gotten the belt and I was seconding for Julia, obviously. And I saw that match and it's just one of the best matches I've seen in recent times. I was just so excited to see it. Those two girls were so extremely good. I was just like so moved, like, whoa, that's how you do wrestling, you know. I was like, oh my god, this is so good, that is so brilliant, and it was so exciting. And it was just I, you know, and then 20 minutes had passed, you know, and it was like, and then 30 minutes had passed, all of a sudden it's like, I want to see more, you can't stop here, it's not, you can't do a time limit draw after this, you know, like, and only like it was just getting out, and they kept on, you know, topping and topping and topping and being so harsh with each other. It was just brilliant. And then in the end, Julia's just, you know, she's lying in the ring and Mayu is just barely getting up on the turnbuckle, right, to do a moonsault, to do a second moonsault. And she's just like about to fall off. And Julia's just on the ground. She's just like, come on, you know. And then Mayu, like after 20 seconds of just like, you know, and then she does the moonsault and something happened, but she somehow sliced Julia's like chin, and you just saw the blood just like coming out of it. I was like, holy shit, she broke her jaw or something. I don't know what had happened, but it was all like, there was blood everywhere. It was crazy. And it's like, I mean, it's obviously horrifying. And I was super like, you know, this emotion came up. It's, you know, crazy thing that happens when you mix, you know, I don't know, when the reality just hits so hard, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, holy shit, is she going to be okay, you know? And then the match was over, and then I could see, oh, she's fine, you know, it's nothing, it's just a cut, you know? But it was just, I was moved to tears. I was like, oh, holy shit, those girls are so badass, you know? And I'm so, so, so proud to be working with them, and I can't wait to get on that level.
Did you know going into that match, as you were walking down to be, you know, the second for that match, did you know that you were about to watch a banger? Did you know how good it was going to be?
No, I thought it was going to be really good. I really like Julia's style and I like Mayu's style as well. Mayu's has been doing it for so many years. She's just perfected it. And I like Julia's intensity. see so much. Like, Julia is just maybe my favorite wrestler in Stardom. So I was looking at it, it's like, this is probably going to be really, really good. And then it turned out to be, oh, this was amazing. Like, really, really, just one of the best matches I've seen in recent times. And just so, like how do you say, I just saw it and I was like, ah, that's how you do it, you know? Ah, okay, I get it now, you know? So...
Well, it's stuff you can put into practice as the undisputed champion of Stardom. The date today that this is going out, Wednesday, the 16th of February, what is coming up for you in the next coming weeks that we really want to shout about?
Well, I have a title match coming up on Sunday again. So by the time this airs, we're going to know how it turned out to be. It's probably going to be a banger.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's going to be interesting for sure. It's going to be against Saki Kashima. And yeah, I can't wait for that. We've had a good singles match already, so I'm looking very much forward to defending my title against her. And then after that, we've had this massive, crazy invasion by Prominence. I don't know, like people who watch Stardom know about it because it was like, it was all over the news. It was huge. And this is crazy because those are all Ice Ribbon girls, right? Like only 4 months ago, I was still in the same company with them. We were on a regular basis having matches together. And then since then, everything has changed so much. It's crazy. So I think this month is going to be very interesting because we're going to have Seradisa and Fujitakane against me and Shuri. And I'm really, really looking forward to that match sometime around the end of February. And yeah, definitely buzzed for that. This is going to be very interesting because it has like tons of background, you know, and some bad blood maybe even.
And if people want to keep up to date with everything else that's going on with you, how can people find you online? Where can they go?
And they can go to Twitter, of course. That is toxic_Tekla, T-H-E-K-L-A. And then there's Instagram. It's the same thing, toxic_Tekla. And I'm on Facebook too, but I don't really use that anymore, I think. And then the rest is just on YouTube and Stardom, obviously. So...
everywhere else, just search effect. I want to end on this one. I want to end on this one because it's a chance for you to talk to your younger self. So let's go back in time. We're going back to that rock venue. Oh, what's happening in this room? There's blood everywhere. There's chickens everywhere. You're walking into that room and you can go back there with all the knowledge that you have now and give your younger self one little bit of advice. What advice would you give them?
It's silly, but protect your neck.
Protect your neck? How is that silly? Protect your neck. As long as you wrap it, that's fine.
No. I think that that's the first thing I'd say. And I'd be like, what? I wouldn't understand, obviously, what I'm talking about. And then the other thing is just go out there and be yourself and try to have fun. Just try to have fun. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes things get difficult and you know, the pressure is high. But if you get in the right mind space, you know, mindset, and you just remember, hey, you're here. You're on this planet to have a good time, you know. Then it's usually, and when you manage to get there, you know, then it's usually fine. Don't overthink, you know, just do it. Just do it and protect your neck.
Do it. Protect your neck. Have a good time. Be mindful of chicken blood. I think those are four things.
Yes, that too.
Hold you in great stead.
And then you're good. Those four things, you're good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.